Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the earnings call at Desktop to discuss our earnings for the fourth quarter and the full year of 2023. This call is being recorded and can be accessed on the company's website at ri.desktop.com.br. The presentation will also be available for downloads. We'd like to let you know that all participants will be listening to the conference during the presentation. Soon after, we'll begin our Q&A session, where more information will be provided. Before proceeding, I want to take advantage of saying that the future statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the company's management, as well as the current information available to the company. These statements can involve risks and uncertainties, considering that they are related to future events and thus rely on circumstances that could or not occur. Investors, analysts, and journalists must consider that events related to the macroeconomic environment and the segments, as well as other factors, can make the results differ materially from those listed in the possible statements and forecasts in the company. In this conference, we have Mr. Daniel Alves Lino, the CEO at Desktop, Mr. André Falcão, the CRO, and Mr. Bruno Leão, the CFO at the company. Now we'll pass the floor on to Mr. Daniel as he begins the presentation. Please, Mr. Daniel, you may proceed.
Good morning. Welcome to our earnings call for the fourth quarter and for the full year of 2023 at Desktop. Today with me, I have our Financial Director for M&A and Investor Relations, Bruno Leão, and our Marketing and Sales Manager, Director, sorry, André Falcão. I want to start off my presentation by recalling that the year of 2023 was extremely challenging from a macroeconomic perspective, with high interest rates and negative perspectives at the beginning of the year. We reacted to this scenario with more discipline in capital allocation and increased our focus on controlling costs and expenses. We were able to generate margin increases that were directly reflected in our adjusted EBITDA and the net income, which had significant growth of 46% and 114%, respectively, higher than the increase in the net revenue, which was 39% in the annual measurement. We were also able to reduce our leverage from 2.7 times to 2.4 times, considering our net debt to EBITDA ratio annualized. It's also worth noting that even with this focus on our efficiency, prioritizing actions that have an impact on profitability and cash, we were able to deliver another year of solid and consistent growth, maintaining our hybrid strategy of organic growth and through acquisitions. We also reached the milestone of over 1 million subscribers. We got closer to the level of 1 billion reais in revenue. With 4.3 million HPs and 55,000 kilometers of networks, we still have a lot of potential to be captured without needing to make new investments in our network. We are fully focused on accelerating our growth as we did in January. With the deliveries of double digits, keeping the effective efficiency in the last few months. Moving on to the slide five. For the third consecutive year, Desktop delivered a higher growth from a percentage perspective in the comparison with the main players in the market. We moved on quarter-over-quarter, dedicated to really stand out through quality in our network and services. The pillar for this is our culture focused on customers, which have been reinforcing this every day since the creation of the company, with the team that's really dedicated to serving customers with excellence. I want to present to you guys on slide six the main results of our work. The prize for the best choice selected Desktop as the best internet on the state of São Paulo, with the average of downloads and we were over 30% of our average performance compared to other players and for ESPs and big telcos in the state of São Paulo. So in the year of 2023, the company received the recognition in the Experience Hours 2023, which was idealized by SalusX and together with Exame, which intends to really highlight the companies that are most desired. Based on the main indicator used by the market, which is NPS. So with over 1,600 brands participating and more than 1 billion opinions from consumers in all sectors, Desktop stood out with the experience certification in the telecom category with an award that's 100% significant considering the customer's voice. We are going to focus on quality and the products that are going to be delivered to customers, which are going to be determining factors in our sector. We consider that we are really on the right path. And now I'll pass the phone to our marketing and sales director, Enzé Falcão. Thank you, Daniel. I will talk about Desktop's presence and our commercial results. On slide A, as you can see on the left side, Desktop ended 2023 with robust presence in the state of São Paulo, with an operation that's extended ever since the north all the way to the south, including the Paraíba Valley area. And our footprint was strengthened by the acquisition of our range, adding over 30 cities in our operation, allowing for the maintenance of our strategy. So the cities that are already operated by Desktop consider a plant of 55 kilometers of the optical network, and through its footprint, work with over 4.3 million households in the state of São Paulo. It's important to highlight that the company was kept within its plan for the year, which considered a smaller geographic expansion, prioritizing the acquisition of new customers in the infrastructure we had already built, and the delivery of small occasional projects for expansion in regions with demand above capacity. In the fourth quarter of 23, Desktop began its operations in the state of Aluminio, in the city of Aluminio, reaching 184 cities covered with highest levels of service that include specialized services and broadband internet with plans for all kinds of audiences. So in the slide 9, I want to highlight that in the fourth quarter of 23, Desktop reached over 1 million customers, and we reached 1 million customers, 26% above the same period of the previous year. In the central chart, I show you the level of net and organic customers added to our base, which added up to 18,000, 25% lower volume versus the fourth quarter of 22. And it's worth noticing that this lower volume of net adds is based on some specific challenges in our installation generated by heavy rains that hit the region where the company operates, since in this period, Desktop delivered an exceptional and growing sales performance. This performance, combined with overcoming the specific challenges in the installations in fourth quarter of 23, has been supported throughout the first quarter of 24 as a result of the maturity strategies for commercial initiatives, which includes sales volume acceleration, quality, and efficiency. And in the first 2 months of 24, we went at over 50% of the sales generated through digital channels, which was an increase of 47% of the volume of sales versus the same period in 22. Without any kind of cannibalization in the sales between the periods, because these in-person channels also had growth. So now I'll pass the floor on to Bruno Leão. Thank you, Falcão. Good morning, everyone. Well, on the next 5 slides, I'm going to try to provide more details of our financial results a bit. On slide 10, we have the annual and quarterly comparisons of our net revenue, adjusted EBITDA, and the adjusted net income. Even with the priority of actions that are focused on profitability versus only growth, on the left side of the slide, I want to highlight the strong growth in our net revenue, which grew 33% between the fourth quarter of 22 and the fourth quarter of 23, reaching 263 million reais. In the annual vision, our net revenue for 2023 reached 986 million reais, which represents an increase of 39% compared to 2022. This significant growth is a consequence of the add-ons of new customers throughout the year, with 116,000 coming from Fasternet's M&A and 91,000 acquired through our own commercial initiatives. In the center of the slide, we can highlight the evolution of our adjusted EBITDA and margin, with 35% growth between the fourth quarter of 2022 and the fourth quarter of 2023. Desktop delivered an adjusted EBITDA of 136 million reais with a margin of 52%. Likewise, in the year-to-date view for 2023, the increase in adjusted EBITDA exceeded the growth in the net revenue, adding up to 497 million reais and a margin of 50%, which was 2% higher than 2022's margin. To the right side here, you can see the adjusted net income, which reached 50 million reais in the fourth quarter of 2023 and 149 million reais in the year to date for 2023. Desktop's net margin reached 19% in the fourth quarter of 2023 and 15% year to date in 2023, representing a quarterly expansion of 10 percentage points and an annual expansion of 5 percentage points. In addition to the impacts of the increased EBITDA margin, the company's net margin also benefited from the positive impacts of the corporate mergers carried out throughout 2023, simplifying the structure and bringing greater efficiency. On slide 11, we highlight Desktop's pro forma results. Considering the company's accelerated growth, the purpose of the exercise is to clarify the current levels of revenue and adjusted EBITDA. Given that in the fourth quarter of 2023, there were no M&As, we only multiplied our net revenue and EBITDA for the fourth quarter of 2023 by 4. The annualized net revenue for the fourth quarter of 2023 was 48% higher versus the amount in 2022 and 7% higher than the accumulated numbers in 2023, adding up to 1 billion and 53 million reais. On the right side of the slide, there's the same view for the adjusted EBITDA. In the annualized view, pro forma adjusted EBITDA reached 542 million reais, 60% above the 22 amount and 9% above the 23 accumulated numbers. Moving on to slide 12, we can detail the changes in our liquidity between the end of 2022 and 2023. We converted 83% of our EBITDA into operating cash flow, 5 percentage points above that which was considered in 2022, ending the year with an operational cash generation of 410 million reais. The capex at Desktop reached 339 million reais, substantially lower than the amount registered in 2022, especially due to the greater optimization of the investments in networks in new areas, which added up to 25 million in the year. The expenses related to installation for new customers added up to 162 million reais in 2023, making up our main line of cash flow from investments. Now, to provide greater visibility related to our CapEx efficiency, we added on the right side of the slide the breakdown of our unit costs, considering the movements of increases and utilization of the inventories. The installments paid related to company acquisitions added up to 273 million reais in 2023. Finally, we added Desktop's financing cash flow, which added up to 363 million reais to the company's liquidity, mainly including the private capital increase carried out in the first quarter of 2023 with approximately 250 million reais and the conclusion of the fifth issuance of debentures adding up to 350 million reais in the fourth quarter of 2023. On slide 13, we consider the adjusted operating cash flow and the CapEx metric, and we highlight the improvement of 270 million reais in cash generation between 2022 and 2023. These results summarize all of the initiatives mentioned above, such as the acceleration of the capturing of synergies and the incorporation of subsidiaries, renegotiation of prices and terms for various contracts, gains on operating leverage, digitalization and automation of processes, and a focus on port penetration and rationalization of our network investments, prioritizing expansion ports that have better risk return ratio. On page 14, we have a view of the company's debt, with cash and cash equivalents at the end of 2023 of 413 million reais and a net debt of 1,309 million reais. The company presented a reduction in our leverage, considering the net debt to EBITDA ratio in the annual comparison from 2.7 times to 2.4 times. It's also worth noting that Desktop has made some recent actions and initiatives to strengthen its balance sheet, emphasizing on the conclusion of the fifth issuance of a debenture adding up to 350 million that's compensated at CDI plus 2.3%, and the release of a credit facility through BNDES adding up to 50 million reais, compensated by TR plus 4.354% per annum, with a 36-month grace period and a 10-year term. I'll pass it back on to Daniel. Thank you, Bruno. And I want to close by thanking all of our customers, partners, shareholders, and over 4,000 employees. Thank you so much for your time and attention. And now we'll move on to our Q&A session. Thank you. We'll begin our Q&A session now. For investors and analysts, if you would like to submit a question, please select the raise hand feature. If your question is sent in writing, please type your name, company, the Q&A field. Thank you so much. Well, and please wait while we collect the questions. Our first question comes from Mr. Leonardo Olmos at UBS. Mr. Leonardo, your mic is open. Hi, guys. Good morning, everyone. Two questions here on our side. Our first one is related to CapEx, which was a little higher than what we were expecting. And we also noticed that there was a bit of an increase of installation costs. So can you talk about this, exclusively considering organic growth despite the recent acquisitions? How are you looking at this scenario with the unit economics for CapEx and the total CapEx that you expect for 2024? That's the first question. Then the second question, considering that the first one was more focused on organic, this one is inorganic. So how are you looking at opportunities for M&A in the state of São Paulo? And how are you considering this package that Oi set up in the client's corner that has been considering the state of São Paulo minus Minas Gerais? So thank you for the question, Leonardo. In the last quarter of 23, we had some effects in the CapEx that were very occasional. The biggest effect was the bigger purchases. Besides this, we had some challenges for efficiency in the installations with labor costs when it comes to because of the major storms in our region. So for 24, with our CapEx, we keep up the strategy of focusing on port penetration and also the rationalization of investments in our network, considering a bigger focus on the ports with a bigger return risk ratio. So the unit costs did not have any changes in the levels. So they remained pretty much at the same historical costs. Now, when it comes to the M&A, even after the 10 acquisitions for São Paulo, we still have interesting opportunities in our market with more attractive prices, considering the new balancing out of the supply and demand of the deals in the market. We're super confident that we're going to continue to deliver good acquisitions and finding complementary, solid businesses with good perspectives for cash and for value generation. So when it comes to Oi, I'll pass the floor on to Daniel here. Well, Leonardo, we always operate, look at the market and look for any opportunities that could be part of this. So, of course, we're going to focus on this as much as possible. And as soon as we have any news, we'll disclose this and share this with the market as well. Okay, great. Daniel and Bruno, thank you for the answer. I think the CapEx issue is super interesting clarification and a lot more positive than what we imagined. Thank you all. Have a nice day. Now, we want to remind you that if you need to send questions, raise your hand. If your question is in writing, please use the Q&A icon. So please wait while we collect questions. Our next question comes from Guilherme Guchilla from BTG Pactual. Mr. Guilherme, your mic is released. Hi, guys. How's it going? I want to talk about growth. So these net adds went to double digits February, so it was less businesses in the rest of the months in the year. But I want to understand how you're looking at this from now on. Do you think you can accelerate this even more, or how are you looking at this new level of net adds for the company? And then the next point is about the churn. The churn is about 2 to 3%, so it reduced significantly in the beginning of 2023 till the end. We want to understand how you've been looking at this for 24. Do you think that the trend for this slowdown should remain? Well, thanks, Guilherme. Here, this is André Falcão. About NetEdgies, just give you an overall context on our side. We operate with different initiatives and levers that already brought major positive results ever since the fourth quarter of 23, and we continue to accelerate now in the beginning of 24. So this reinforces some advances in the digital channels also that already represented over 50% of the sales in the company due to the maturity curve in this ecosystem, without cannibalizing the in-person channels as mentioned in the presentation. So besides this, with the positive environment for activations, considering that, considering the fourth quarter of 2023, we can see we're really on the right path, and so we're still solid with the net adds perspective. We still have some opportunities with the churn. We're working on this, and I'm going to pass this on to Daniel so he can talk about the churn as well. Perfect. Thank you, Falco. Okay. Hi, Guilherme. Well, to be very direct here about the churn, we're super focused on reducing the churn. As you mentioned, we have been able to reduce this quarter over quarter, and we worked on this reduction of the churn in the compulsory and voluntary. And our plan for 2024 is that we'll continue to improve processes, performing more sales for the channels with less FPD, with the digital channels that we've been able to expand. As Falcão just mentioned, and also helping to avoid any kind of possible conditions if they consider this and still reduce the churn from a voluntary perspective and a compulsory perspective. So this is pretty much what we would like to keep up with in 2024. Okay, guys, thank you. Once again, if you have any questions, please use the raise hand function. If your question is in writing, use the Q&A icon. But please wait while we collect questions. Our next question comes from Luca Brangin from Bank of America.
Mr. Luca, your mic is released. Well, thanks for this, guys. Good morning, and thanks for taking my question. Congrats on the results. I have two here on my side. First of all, I wanted to know about the margins. That was one of the main positive surprises in the quarter. Last year was also a lot higher, the margin. So is there any kind of seasonality issue with the fourth quarter? And how, and if this margin is going to remain at these levels for the next quarters? And then secondly, now with this strategy that's a little different, considering expansion that's maybe a little more aggressive in these new areas, how would this modify the ticket issue? Since you're entering new regions a little less, do you think the dynamic would be more healthy for the ticket up ahead? Those are the two questions. Thanks. Thanks for the question, Luca. This is Bruno here. When it comes to the margins, as we've been mentioning in the last quarters, we had a significant increase. Between 22 and 21, we had a margin of 42% to 48% in 22, with the delivery of different initiatives for efficiency and leverage, operational leverage gains. And then from this level on, the increments that we'd already been mentioning throughout 23 are going to be more marginal. So we'll be closer to a balance point as we delivered in 23. We went from a margin of 48% in 2022, and we reached a margin of 50% in 2023. So there's still room for improvements, and that's why we are working on this daily. But it's important to mention this topic. And when it comes to the margins in the quarter, for the fourth quarter of 23, there is an effect that's occasional, and we actually mentioned that in the beginning, which is due to the lower level of installations, we had less expenses with PMP. So part of this improvement in the fourth quarter was the punctuality. So anyways, about the ticket now, Falcon will talk about this a bit. About the tickets, I'm going to give you some context here. The overall panorama, we had a strategic movement to unify the portfolio for each of our markets and also reposition pricing, which generated some evolution in our entry ticket. Additionally, we intensified our upsell initiatives for customers on our base, plus the natural movements for readjustments of our annual anniversary. And we also have an important roadmap with new launches planned for the next months, which should lead to greater depth in the portfolio and, besides value to the customer, also bring in a potential for reputation as well. And with these launches, we also have room to operate with the cross-sell. And it's important to highlight that we're still very comfortable with the scenario of pricing in our market. And we continue to grow as well as with our lower average ticket. So great, guys. Thank you so much for the answers. Well, to have your questions, we'll use the raise hand function here. If your question is in writing, we'll use the Q&A icon. Please wait while we collect the questions. Once again, to submit a question, please use the raise hand function. If your question is in writing, use the Q&A icon. Please wait while we collect your questions. Our next question comes from Rodrigo Azevedo. So, four questions. The first one, we published news on a possible sale of InfraCo at Desktop. The company is really interested in the sale of InfraCo. Is there any kind of negotiation related to this? And the second one is, does the company plan to expand its operation in other states or keep at the short midterm its operations in São Paulo? The third one is, we published the sale of a possible sale at SIA for TIM Telecom. Is there something being negotiated? And the fourth question is about the future. How is the company looking into the arrival of 5G? Is there any kind of risk to the operation of the company, as well as with the offering of internet through FWA on behalf of the big telcos? Well, Rodrigo, thank you for the questions. I will plan to answer this directly about InfraCo. My strategic vision is that I believe the company is going to work a lot better if they own their own infrastructure. So it only makes sense, really, if we have a division between InfraCo and ClientCo. If there's an offer on the table, that's really a big advantage for shareholders. Having said this, we're open to listening to offers from the market, and if we have any news, we'll notify you all as well about this. So about the expansion to other states, we currently have a big focus on occupying the networks that already exist. So our organic expansion has been very occasional. And so possibly to be able to reach other states, we're open to this and all of these opportunities as well. And if this does occur, it's going to happen through acquisitions, most likely. So I don't really have anything else I could talk about this topic. It's not very clear exactly what we're talking about here. We still haven't received any information about TIM. Now, about 5G and possible risks for our operation here, I'm completely comfortable that a 5G FWA product is not competitive with a fixed broadband through optic fiber. So Desktop is at an important process. It started in 23 and will end in the beginning of 23, 26, sorry, which where we're already handling all of our technological basis to work with customers with up to 10 gigas. So it's not about timing, it's about technological capacity. Wi-Fi that we're considering here in customer houses, with Wi-Fi 6, it provides better coverage and greater latency, as well as volume of devices is very significant differential. And I'm sure 5G will not be able to keep up with this technological evolution of fiber. We've already gone through this in all of our history with 2G, 3G, 5G, and 6G, and fiber will always be just a few steps ahead when it comes to capacity and performance. So 5G is considered an opportunity for Desktop. We have very broad coverage in this network for fiber and our footprint, and it's an opportunity for us to offer services to operators that need to provide their towers. And we already have some contracts underway, which should we be delivering throughout this year. Thank you all, and I hope to have answered all of your questions. Once again, we want to remind you that if you have any questions, you should use the raise hand feature. If your question is in writing, please click on the Q&A icon. Please wait while we collect questions. The Q&A session is officially ended. We want to pass the floor on to the company's CEO, Mr. Daniel Alves Lino, so that he can submit his final remarks and comments. Thank you all for your participation. Thank you so much for your questions. I hope we've been able to clarify most of the questions that appeared.
I want to end our presentation by reinforcing our focus on continuing to grow with quality in a sustainable way. We are evolving in our processes, qualifying our employees, and training them, investing in technology and people to continue to be the leader in quality and customer satisfaction in our different areas. We transmitting this mentality of doing things differently, being more efficient, and working with our customers in the best way is something that's really in our culture. And we try sharing this with all of our employees at all levels every day. So thank you all once again, and have a nice day. The earnings call for Desktop is officially ended. We want to thank you all for your participation and have a great day.